when I would have been at most 13. God was moving in a sovereign way in the young people, 11, 12, and 13 years old at that time. He was just doing it. And a bunch of us decided that we were going to get together on Sunday morning at 5 o'clock and pray. And we started to pray at 5 o'clock. And church started, it was supposed to start at 9:30. But when 9:30 came, there was absolutely no way to have a service. God had taken over the building. You know, and everyone that walked in there fell under conviction. There was no way to have a regular service. And that prayer meeting that started at 5 basically ended at 2 in the afternoon. Just a sovereign visitation from God. You know, and literally we saw hundreds of children give their lives to Jesus. I know of at least 60 of them that are pastors today. At least there's probably more, you know, and ministers. And I'm asking God for something like that, except greater, to happen in Beulahville and in Duplin County, you know. And I've seen, you know, we were singing. I believe every song that we were singing tonight was prophetic. You know, what was the song right before this? We want more. We've seen you move. You move the mountains. And I believe I'm going to see you do it again. You know, I believe I'm going to see him do it again. This was in an agricultural community in central Brazil that no one thought was important. And people, you know, all across the nation of Brazil now know the ministries from people from that little town. Now they know. Amen. You know, and Beulahville is no less likely than that place was for a mighty move. I think God really delights in choosing places that people think are not the likely place. And I really think he delights in doing that, because his power is shown more perfectly in our weakness rather than in our strengths. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I, you know, I'm just not ready quite to move away from where we are in the spirit on this right now. You know, we need to dig in and contend. You know, yes, and I really believe. You need to say something, Nancy? Just 1 second. You know, I really, you can remain standing, because I'm going to give you the mic in about 15 seconds, okay? I really believe what I say. This is not just something that I say, you know, to say something. It's not a bumper sticker type thing. I believe that we pray until something happens, and that's when you really sink your teeth into it. Once you've achieved the breakthrough, you don't relax and bask in that. No, that you push through. That's when you push. You know, and you establish the breakthrough as wide and as deep into the territory of the enemy as possible. That's how you do it. You know, and then it has an area regional changing effect. Okay, Nancy. Yes.
I just wanted to say Tuesday morning I was driving into Beulahville for the latest prayer meeting. And outside, before the first light out there, there was a couple that got a flat tire on the highway. And I came on down to Whalers, and I turned around and went back. And it was a young couple in their mid-30s on their way to Raleigh. And that young couple asked the Lord to come into their heart and save them. And it was so easy. It was a divine time, a divine appointment. I believe God has loosed that spirit of salvation and deliverance and healing in this area already. And I thank God for it. It was just so easy. And they were in their mid-30s and said they had never asked the Lord to come into their heart at all, any time in their life. She came out of a Jehovah Witness background, and he came out of no background. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Let's rejoice in that. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. You know, I've seen it happen. I believe we can see it happen, you know, even stronger. You know, where people come into this building, the children are praying, and the Holy Spirit falls on whoever dares step through the door. Saved or unsaved. I believe that. I've seen it. I don't even have to have faith. Faith is what you haven't seen. I've seen it. I know God can do it. I know God can visit a city where unbelievers fall down in the middle of the street and start confessing their sins with no one praying for them. I've seen that. Okay? I've seen that. I'm not talking wild stuff to you. I'm talking about stuff that I've seen. Okay? You know, that any demon-possessed person in a town would fall under the power and be set free. Yeah. Amen. You know, and so, and I'm mentioning this. This is connected with what Nancy is saying. You know, you guys, I think you know, most of us know, that it's not normally that easy. It's not normally that easy. God is releasing something over this area. We've been declaring it for many years, haven't we, Pastor Wade? We've been declaring it for many years, haven't we, Ray and Martha Miller? We've been declaring it for many years, you know, and we're beginning to see it. We're going to see it more. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let me tell you just one more story. Hallelujah. Pastor Wade and I were involved with a minister in Argentina. And in the mid-80s, God started shaking that nation through a businessman who got radically saved. And he started ministering. And basically what happened in about 6 years, 2 million people in Argentina gave their lives to the Lord. And he would go from city to city, and he would hold 40-night meetings. And in that time, usually 60,000 to 90,000 people would come to the Lord. And I saw it happen. Pastor Wade, we saw it happen together. They would go running as fast as they could by the thousands to the front. Okay? Power of God sweeping over the crowd. People falling under the power all over the building, all over the field with no one touching them. People falling under the power out in the cities. You know, it became so known that whenever that happened, the rescue squad would just take them to the tent. They said, we know what's going on here. It's another one that's been hit by the power of God. You know, and Argentina is a soccer-crazy nation, you know, just like Brazil. And this was something that God did, I think, as really a sign. In one of the major stadiums of the country, when after this evangelist, Carlos Anacondia, had been there for 40 nights probably. That was his normal way of doing it. Right after that, on the following Sunday, they had a soccer match, you know, between two professional teams. And this is what happened. When the opening kickoff took off in the soccer match, all 22 players on the field fell down at the same time under the power of God. I mean, it was just a sign and a wonder. Both teams fell under the power as soon as the ball started rolling. No one could do anything. So, you know, God moved. I've seen him move. I know the power of God is real. He can shake and change an area. He can do it here. He can do it here, guys. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Yeah, I believe that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I want you to look in John chapter 10. We're going to share just a few verses from the Word of God tonight. And we're going to be talking about the discipline of hearing God. Okay? The discipline of hearing God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Nancy, for that great testimony. That is wonderful. And Pastor Wade, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you need to say something right now? Would you like to add anything to that? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Okay. John chapter 10, verses 24 through 28. Oh, praise you, Lord. His presence is still here in this room, very powerfully. And the only reason that I'm moving into what we're doing now is because I believe he said to do that. Okay. And so let's focus in and let's just let God speak to us. John 10, 24 through 28. The Jews then gathered around him and were saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Okay? Now, there are a lot of statements that are made there, and I want us to maybe, in a different way than maybe we've done when we've read this passage in the past, to connect those statements. Okay? Jesus says one thing that we're supposed to do, and then he says, I think it's five things that are going to happen if we do it. Okay? What is the thing that he says that we are supposed to do? My sheep hear my voice. Okay? My sheep hear my voice. Amen. And then he makes five great statements. He says, and then I know them. Okay? And they follow me. Okay? We cannot follow him if we're not hearing his voice. Okay? The way that he knows us is by our response to his voice. This is how that we are known. Okay? And I'm remembering the scripture where Abraham obeys the voice of the Lord, and he does everything up to the point of raising up the knife to sacrifice Isaac in obedience to the voice of the Lord. Okay? And you know, and what is it that the angel of the Lord cries out? He says, now I know. Now I know, okay, that you fear God. Now I know you, okay? Why? Because of his response to the voice. The way that I am known by God is by how I respond to his voice. Okay, in the way that, I'm not saying that God doesn't know us. I'm saying that he wants to know us in a way that is practical and in how we live on the earth. He knows everything about us anyway. But in the sense that he is meaning when he told Abraham, now I know. Is he saying that he didn't know before? No. He's saying that knowledge has become real on the earth. Okay, it's no longer theoretical. And in direct opposition to what he will say to the people on that day, when he tells them, you know, when they say, we prophesied, we did all these miracles, and we did this, and we did that, and he'll say to them, depart from me, I never knew you. Okay? Depart from me, I never knew you. Does that mean that he doesn't know anything about them? No, he did not know them in the way that he's speaking of here. They did not hear his voice and follow him. Therefore, they did not become known in the way that he wished to know them on the earth. Okay? So here's what happens. My sheep hear my voice and I know them. They follow me and I give eternal life to them. And they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Wow, there are some tremendous statements that happen here, but the first statement is, my sheep hear my voice, okay? Everything that Jesus is laying out here as far as how life is supposed to go for his sheep, it starts with, my sheep hear my voice, okay? And then he says, you know, all these wonderful things, I know them. You know, we don't ever want to have the Lord say to us, I never knew you. Okay? We don't ever want that to happen. Now, the scripture says that many people who are not expecting that to happen are going to have that happen. Okay? Now, how do we avoid that? Well, he gives us the path right here. It says, my sheep hear my voice. Okay? And they follow me. You know, how can sheep follow a shepherd unless they hear his voice? Okay? You know, and it's so important that we understand how important hearing the voice of the Lord is. It's very important that we understand that. You know, and as I've been preparing to yesterday and today for this message tonight, I really feel like he is impressing on us that we need to revisit how important hearing his voice is. Okay? You, my sheep, hear my voice. Now, that is an absolute statement. That there are no conditions attached to that. All right? Now, he's not saying that my sheep always obey my voice, but he's saying my sheep hear my voice. Okay? So, everyone in here that can baa like a sheep, you hear his voice. All right? That's just what it says. You know, I don't know how to make a goat noise, and maybe that's a good thing. You know, because we don't want to be the goats in the scripture, okay? You know, everyone who is a true sheep of the Lord hears his voice. Okay, that's an absolute statement.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, now, you know, too often when statements like that are made, you know, the enemy tries to turn that into a fearful thing. And make, am I really a sheep? Because I don't really know if I'm hearing his voice, you know. And that's not the intent of that. The voice of the shepherd is not to create fear. It's to create faith, okay, that since I am a sheep, if I'm not being able to identify his voice, it doesn't mean that I'm not a sheep. It means that I need to redirect the focus of my life, okay? Because if I'm trying to live life as a sheep without hearing the voice of the shepherd, it doesn't work that way, okay? You know, if it really helps if I put things in that analogy. You know, how would you be as a sheep if you never could hear the voice of the shepherd? You'd be in a mess. You wouldn't know where to go. You wouldn't know what to do. Everything that came your way would frighten you. Sheep are easily frightened. They easily die under that fright. Okay? You know, and it's the voice of the shepherd that brings reassurance to them. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Amen. Okay? Now, I want us to begin to evaluate tonight, you know, how well am I hearing the voice? Okay? Because if I am a born-again believer in Christ Jesus, I can assume that he is talking to me. Okay? I can assume that. That is an absolute given. Okay? That has nothing to do with your temperament. It has nothing to do with whether you consider yourself prophetic or not. It has nothing to do with how old you are. If you are a born-again believer in Christ Jesus, he is talking to you. He is speaking to you. Okay? He says, it's not me saying that. He says, my sheep hear my voice. That's the way it is. Okay? My sheep hear my voice. Now, as we're going to look in our next scripture, the problem is not that he is not speaking, okay, but that there is so much clutter in our lives that we have difficulty identifying his voice. Okay? The problem is not that he's not talking. The problem isn't even that we could not hear him if we could eliminate all the competing voices. Okay? Here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for everyone in this room right now to begin talking loudly. Come on, just begin talking loudly. Okay, all right. That's enough of that. I didn't realize you guys would enjoy that much. You're tired of listening. You want to do some talking. Okay. Now, I can absolutely guarantee you that Elizabeth was speaking, but how many of you heard her voice?
I did.
Okay. Who are the ones that heard her voice? The ones that were close to her. Okay. You know, everyone was talking, you know, but I'm not hearing individual voices because there's so much clutter going on. You know, I have filled my life with so many competing attention and interests You know, that it's impossible almost to identify the voice of the Lord. It's not that he's speaking. It's not that I'm not a sheep. You know, it's not that I'm not mystical enough or whatever, touchy-feely enough. No, it's just there are too many competing wavelengths going on. Okay? You know, that's what it is. It has nothing to do. Guys, I want to repeat this over and over. It has nothing to do, you know, with a temperament issue. It has nothing to do with that. God doesn't just speak to the ones that have prophetic gifting. God speaks to every one of his sheep. Okay? He speaks, and once again, I really feel like I should say it, to the children. He speaks to every child that has given their life to Jesus Christ just as much as he speaks to adults. And sometimes they're better at listening. Okay? Sometimes they're better at listening. Why? Because they're children, and they don't normally have as many competing voices going on. You know, they have less things going on in their life. It's easier to tune in to the voice of the Lord. We've got to become more like little children. Okay? So this is a wonderful thing. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them. They will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. Now, we hear his voice in many different ways. Okay? We hear his voice in many different ways. And this is not intended to be like an exhaustive study, or exhausting either, for that matter. Okay? It's Wednesday night. You know, it's not intended to be like a full, complete study, but I'm just going to throw out a few things. God speaks to us through the scriptures, through the Bible. God speaks to us through other believers. He speaks to us through the proclamation of the word. God speaks to us through the Holy Spirit in our heart. He speaks to us through various spiritual giftings. God speaks to us through dreams and visions. Okay, he does. I mean, unless you want to throw the Bible out, he does. He's always done that. He's the same. He's still doing that today. Okay? He speaks through dreams and visions. He speaks through the voices of others. Okay? Even those who are not believers. He speaks in many different ways. Okay? And so tonight, I really feel like I'm supposed to call our church to a realistic evaluation of how much am I actually hearing the voice that is speaking. Okay? I mean, it's, you know, how much am I actually hearing that? You know, and maybe we have some religious concepts that we need to get rid of, you know, in order to move into a more biblical lifestyle. You know, and what I mean by that is this. You know, Marisa and I live in the same house. Now, would it be really strange if we were to go a whole day together and never say a word to each other? That'd be strange, wouldn't it? Okay? That'd be kind of weird. That would be a sign that something was wrong. Hallelujah. Don't y'all shout me down now. Okay? You know, I mean, if I went a whole day and she never said anything to me and I never said anything to her, something's not right. Something's not right. You know, either one of us is terribly sick or something. Something's not right. Okay? Now, why is it that we think that it's hyper-spiritual and over-dramatic, you know, to experience hearing the Lord's voice on a daily basis? I mean, is he not closer to us than even our spouse? Of course he is. Okay? You know, and so, Why would that not be considered, you know, the daily norm? You know, why would that not be considered to be the very least that he would do, that he would say something to me today? I mean, do I really think that God has gone 24 hours and he has nothing that he wants to say to me? I mean, that's just not relational good sense. Okay, what's going to happen if I only hear his voice, you know, once a week? Our relationship is going to get more distant. Okay? If I only spoke with her once a week, with Marisi once a week, what would happen over a period of time? For a week or so, that might be more or less okay. Okay? But, you know, over a period of time, what would happen? We would grow more distant. Okay? You know, and this is a relationship that I can see her and she can see me. When we talk about our relationship with Jesus, we're talking about someone that we're not seeing. You know, and so the importance of hearing is even more dramatic than it would be in a relationship that we can see each other. You know, because a lot of communication happens just through seeing each other. You know, it's the difference between talking to someone and talking to them on the phone. You know, or talking with them by text. How many know that by text you can really mess up communication? You know, why is that? Because they can't see you and they can't hear you, you know. And so, you know, it's easy to really mess that up, okay? You know, but if I spend a week and only speak to her one time, I'm guaranteeing you that over a period of 6 months, this relationship is going to drastically suffer. Okay, now I'm once again just asking you to be honest with yourself. How often are you truly hearing his voice? How often are you hearing what he's saying to you? Okay, you know, and a realistic appraisal, not a spiritual, you know, I'm going to, you know, really be spiritual in church kind of response, but the real, what's really happening on the inside, you know, on a daily basis. You know, if I were to ask, you know, people how often, I'm not going to do that, how often are you hearing his voice? Well, you know, if the real answer to that is, you know, that over the last 6 months, I've maybe heard him once a week, once a month. Okay, what's really happening with that relationship? That relationship is not flowing the way that it should. Okay, and it's eventually going to get weaker. And all of these things that he talks about in this passage, you know, are going to become less and less prevalent in our lives. We're going to be following him less. Okay, you know, I want us to understand. Good intentions, you know, are not the guarantee that we're following. The way that I know that I'm following is if I'm hearing his voice. If I'm not hearing his voice, you know, I may have gotten out of range. That's the other possibility. There's clutter, and I may have drifted off far enough that I'm not hearing his voice anymore. And I need to repent and get back on track. Okay? You know, but following him, it's only possible if I hear him because I don't see him. Right? You know. There's two ways you can follow someone, by seeing them or by hearing them. And this is a relationship that, once again, we don't see him with our eyes. So we're left with hearing, okay? And that's why he guarantees, my sheep hear my voice. This is the way it happens, okay? Now, secondly, here, our second scripture, Matthew 4:24. And it's the first temptation of Jesus in the account of Matthew, of the temptation of Jesus. Okay? It says there, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay? If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, here's what I want us to understand about this temptation. This temptation is not really about whether Jesus could eat bread or not. He'd already fasted what he was supposed to fast. It was on a 40-day fast. It's over. Okay, so it's not about the fasting, okay? It's about the temptation to live a different lifestyle, okay? If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Next verse, please. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Jesus has spent 40 days fasting. Is he hungry?
Yes.
He's hungry. Does he need to eat? Yes. Yes, he needs to eat. Is there anything wrong with eating bread? No, there's nothing wrong with eating bread. Okay? But the temptation here is that Jesus would be lured through his hunger to live a life in response to his need rather than according to hearing the word. Okay? That is the temptation. That is what's really being proposed here. It's not about bread. It's not about, you know, that he would be breaking his fast too soon or anything like that. No, it's about a lifestyle that, frankly, you know, many of us Christians in modern days, we are really struggling with this, okay? And I want us to understand that the devil tempts us the same way that he tempted Jesus. He's going to come to us, and he's going to present all kinds of needs, or he might present all kinds of opportunities. He might present all kinds of crisis situations. You know, he's going to present all kinds of reasons why I should live my life in response to my needs rather than living my life by hearing his voice first. Okay? This is fundamentally what is going on here. And, you know, and I have to say that contrary, you know, and let me back up. Let me just say this again. Every one of us here in this room, we are fighting that battle. Okay? Satan has not changed his tactics. You know? And so, you know, with someone here in this room, it might have to do with their job and everything that they've got going on in their life. You know, and basically determining that because they're so busy, there is no time to really seek the voice of the Lord, okay? And when we live a lifestyle like that, we are giving in to this temptation, okay? We're no longer living according to the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, but we're living in response to need. My life is driven by my need. And this is something that is so evil about debt, because it empowers our need to take a greater part in our life than it's supposed to have. Okay? And so, as we look at this, you know, how much does this describe our true lifestyle? You know, how much of my energy and concentration and focus is taken up responding to need first, rather than hearing the voice of the Lord first? You know, what is it that stresses me out in life? Okay, and once I step on that cartwheel of living life in response to need rather than hearing his word, okay, it's a never ending snowballing effect of more and more junk and pressure in my life and stress in my life. Okay? That's what it is. And it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And we cry out to God to give us the answer to that. And we don't realize that we have to back up. Okay? And stop living in response to our perceived need. Okay? And start living in response to hearing what he's saying. And that is the true solution to that, you know, to the rat race, you know, of modern life or of any life in any era. Okay? But it just seems to, it's like as life accelerates, it gets easier and easier to succumb to this. Okay? So he answered, man shall not live on bread alone. He's saying we need bread. There's nothing wrong with me eating bread, he's saying. I can eat bread, no problem. But I'm not going to do it because there is a need. I'm going to do it because this is what the Lord is guiding me in. but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Okay? Now, this leads us to one more point here, and we're just about winding up tonight. I will have as much life in me as I hear his word. There is no other source of life. Okay? The life that God gives me, the life that he gives me is not an existence. It's abundant life. Okay? There are so many Christians that are just existing. You know, just bouncing from need and crisis and situation to another. You know, and although we are alive, that's not the life that God came, that Jesus came to give us. He came to give us life and to give it more abundantly. The life that he gives, it overflows with abundance. The life that he gives is more than enough. The life that he gives, you know, there is more than enough resource, you know, and I abound in that. I'm overflowing with joy and with peace and with righteousness when the life that he gives is going through my life. Okay? And the thing is, the only way to access that life is by hearing the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. That's the way that I access that. All right? And we're talking about all the different ways. God speaks in every way that he did in Scripture. He still does it today. Every way that he did in Scripture, he still does it today. Every way that he did it in Scripture, he still does it today. Every way that he did it in Scripture, he still does it today. Okay? And he speaks and he speaks and he speaks. And all of us as sheep do hear his voice. Do we identify it? Okay? The only source of real life in God is through the words that proceed out of his mouth. Amen. That is the only way I receive it. Thank you, Lord. He speaks through prophetic word. Okay? He speaks in a lot of different ways. He speaks to children. I learned to hear the voice of God, you know, when I was nine. You know, and now that I'm years old, okay? Guys, I want to tell you, it's a wonderful thing when a child learns to hear the voice of God. Because when a child learns to hear the voice of God, all the rest of their life, they'll never doubt. They know it's the voice of God. They may not want to do what it says, but they know who's saying it. Okay? You know, I can honestly say, you know, and have to confess, I haven't always obeyed the voice, but I've always known the voice. Learned it as a little child. Amen. Amen. You know, I mean, when we talk about children learning to walk with God now, I mean, that is an incredible gift. That is an awesome gift for children to be able to identify. Yeah, that's really Jesus speaking to me through the scripture, or that's Jesus speaking to me, heaven help me, through the voice of my parents. Yes. You know, that's Jesus speaking to me. That's his voice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And it's the only source of life. Okay? Ever how much life I have is how much I'm hearing his word. If life is stressful for me, if it's filled with anxiety and stress and lack, it's because I'm not hearing his voice enough. It's not because I'm not loved. It's not because the devil is all that. It's because I'm just not hearing. I'm just not hearing. The devil isn't all that powerful. The devil picks on the people that aren't listening. He picks on the sheep that aren't listening, that aren't hearing. Okay, why? Because that's the only ones that he has success with. The ones that are hearing his voice follow him. Amen. Okay, one more scripture here. You know, how much life is in me? How much life is in me? Okay, that's how much I'm hearing. One more thing about identifying the voice. We're going to read one more scripture and close with that one. You know, I want to get practical, you know, because I feel like probably like me, everyone else in the room is saying, okay, Pastor, you convinced me I need to hear the voice of God more. What do I do? What do I do about it? How many want to know what you do about it? Okay? And here is the thing that I'd wish every believer knew. Okay? I wish every believer really knew and believed what I'm about to say. And that is, most of the time when believers are trying to learn to hear the voice of God, they spend too much time being concerned about what's false and not enough time identifying what's real. Okay? Now, if you start focusing on what's false, that is a never-ending rabbit trail. Okay? Because Jesus never said, you know, you'll know my voice because you know all the false voices and what they sound like. And mine's the other one. He never said that. Okay? You know, that's not the path to figuring out what his voice is. You know, and I've always liked to illustrate it like this. You know, when you go, you know, how bank tellers identify genuine money and counterfeit money. Okay? They don't go studying all the counterfeit bills because there's too many of them to study. There's no way they could ever know all the ones that are false. What do? They spend a lot of time learning what the real feels like. Okay? And as people learn what the real feels like, if you know what the real feels like, you automatically know whatever false is. It's anything else. It's anything else. Okay? How do we spend time identifying what the real voice is? We read the scripture. We read the scripture. That's how we spend time doing it. Why? Because we know that everything that is in the scripture is the word of God. Okay? There is no question. There is no doubt. There is no nothing like that. So what do I do to increase my ability to understand what's genuine? I spend time studying what's genuine. Okay? Pastor Wade Chris Panos, a famous evangelist from the 70s, he said something that has stuck with me ever since then. I remember reading in one of his books, he said, you know, if anyone tells me they're interested in growing in God, I tell them, you read 5 chapters of the Bible every day. Said, and if you can't do that, I don't have any time to fool with you. That's what he said. You know, because how am I going to learn to identify the voice of God? By chasing my emotions. Oh, today I feel this, today I feel that, today I know. You know, I'm not going to identify the voice of God reliably that way. Okay? And so he said, and it has stuck with me now for these 40-some years. I've never forgotten that. And every year I see more and more how that's true. And guys, I think it would be embarrassing if I were to ask in here, how many of us have actually read the whole Bible? I'm afraid that would be an embarrassing response, so I'm not going to ask that, okay? 5 chapters a day in the Word of God. You know, oh, this is real. God did say this. He said this. He said this. He said this. You know, and then when something comes, yeah, that's his voice. I know that. Yeah, that's it. No, that's not. That's not his voice. You know, we're given the scriptures for many reasons, but one of them is so that we can be trained in the genuine. Okay? Hallelujah. Closing with one more scripture, and we'll pray about this. Deuteronomy 4:36. It says, out of the heavens he let you hear his voice. This is God speaking to the children of Israel. Out of the heavens he let you hear his voice to discipline you. Okay? And that's why the title of this message tonight, short message, is Discipline of Hearing. He let you hear his voice to discipline you. Okay? A couple of statements about that and we're going to end. The level of discipline that is actually in our lives is exactly parallel with how much we're hearing his voice. Okay? The level of real discipline in my life is exactly parallel with how much I'm hearing his voice. Because it's hearing his voice that produces discipline in my life. Okay? You know, if there are so many Christians that want to be wild and all over the place, all right? And that never goes anywhere for a long time. That never goes anywhere for a long time. He wants us to hear his voice because both the discipline required to hear it is important and the discipline that it produces is even more important. Okay? He lets us hear his voice to train us and to discipline us in righteousness. And in discipline, I'm not talking about just correction. It involves correction as well. But it's the training in how to live our lives so that we will be following his will. And as I hear his voice, it produces discipline inside of me. Okay? The pursuit of hearing his voice produces necessary discipline in me. Okay? If I'm not hearing his voice, I'm probably not very disciplined in my lifestyle. Now, don't you all shout me down over that one, okay? Hallelujah. But you know I'm telling you the truth. You know, I'm all over the place. I can do anything except spend some time with God. Oh, I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere, you know, but there's no discipline in my life. I'm not hearing anything. There's no discipline in my life. The discipline to hear and the discipline that hearing produces is so foundational to successful life. Amen. Let's stand. Amen. Discipline of hearing tonight. Yes, Pastor Wade. Okay. Well, I'm done. So, except for praying, so I'm not sure what you want to say and how that fits in with prayer. Okay?